Good evening, everyone. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Before we begin tonight, I want to say thank you so much to my brothers and sisters here for all the kind words that have come our family's way over the past several weeks, and I thank you so much for the opportunity to be out together with you this afternoon. For those that can make it out, really appreciate your attempt to show your love and appreciation, for we love you more than you could possibly ever know. So thank you so much, and thank you to Jack and Cheryl for their help in that regard as well. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." I got to tell you, brethren, there's been some things that have really been troubling me lately. When I read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, what I see is that everything that we do, it's not just something about worship. It's not just something when we come together, but it should be as Christians. Everything that we do, every decision we make, whether it be as parenting, grandparenting, whether it be how we treat our friends, how we treat our brethren, whatever it is that we do in life, it should all come off of the fact that we are Christians, and the decision should be based upon that fact. But it seems to me, in the culture that we live in today, that some Christians feel as if there is some exception to that rule. And that is what has been bothering me. And I want to speak to that tonight and make sure that we encourage one another to keep our minds where they need to be. Just in this past week, I want to give you a few examples of things that I have seen from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ across the country. First thing that I have seen, this is on social media, but these examples I have seen in person, not just online. But if anybody has seen anything in the news lately, we have seen that our president has said or done some things in the media lately, and I'm not going to talk about what I agree with, don't agree with, or anything of political in nature, but here's what I do want to discuss. I want to discuss that I've been seeing Christians in person and on social media just rip into one another. And I've seen even an evangelist on social media take a stand and say he felt the need that these things must be said one way or the other. Listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have every right, and there is nothing wrong with us having an opinion on social matters. Certainly there is nothing wrong with us having an opinion or a bent to a certain political party. There is nothing wrong with that. But what I do see is wrong is when brothers and sisters in Christ tear into each other in regards to politics and social matters. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Let me turn from social issues to more spiritual in nature thoughts. Also, in this last week, I've seen a fellow evangelist make some comment on social media in regards to this man that he had studied the gospel with, had baptized into Christ, and had been going through a lot of issues mentally, had some sicknesses that he was dealing with. And he took his own life. Now, we can have a discussion on doctrine in regards to murder and suicide, and that's another discussion. But what I saw was people going after, and immediately after this gentleman announces that a brother in Christ had committed suicide and is no longer on the earth, I see nothing but posts from brothers and sisters in Christ condemning this man and going on and on. And I just don't think that's the time to do that when a loss of a brother in Christ has occurred. All within the same week, another post I had seen in social media. Another fellow evangelist posting something, some article he didn't even write. He just simply posted an article in regards to some thoughts on Vacation Bible School. And that came with a firestorm of opinions. Perhaps somebody likes it, somebody doesn't like it. Somebody has this thought. Again, not here to discuss any personal man's opinion. What I want to discuss is that it seems that a lot of Christians today have an exception to the rule on set your minds on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And again, seeing brothers and sisters in Christ tear into one another over their opinions on social media. We could keep going with these examples. You could probably stand before everybody and tell me something. Tell everybody something that you've seen of brothers and sisters in Christ debating things online or debating politics one-on-one and getting into some scuffle about their opinions. Brother, I see two major issues amongst our brethren, not just this week, but ongoing. And the first major issue that I see in the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, is having this idea of wanting to major in all the minors. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 23 when he talks about to the Pharisees and how you'll hang all of these laws that you've created on all of the Jewish people. But on the major points of grace and mercy, you won't even uphold and you won't teach them about it. And Jesus says in Matthew 23 and 23, 24, he says that you strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. I don't think a lot of things have changed today in that regard. I see brothers and sisters in Christ, instead of trying to edify one another and encourage one another, trying to strain out the gnat and point out everybody's faults, tell somebody when they're wrong, and on it goes. That's a major issue that I see in the church. I also see a very unhealthy desire to argue and to be right and to get your way at all times in the church. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes to the young evangelist, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome." Now there are some things that, as I spoke of this morning, that we need to stand up and fight for. And we need to stand on the principles of the Lord. But brethren, there's some times that we're just trying to argue with one another and prove each other wrong, majoring in the minors and desire to just argue over whatever. And it's just not edifying to one another. And as I think through these things, brethren, I'm afraid that many disciples of Jesus Christ, they've just begun to lose their way. And they've allowed the culture that we live in to rub off on them a little bit too much, and they do more conforming to the world. And let me tell you what happens when we start acting like the world instead of brothers and sisters in Christ. The gospel loses, we lose, and the adversary, Satan, wins. Satan wins when we begin to turn on one another. Satan wins when we begin to quarrel with one another. Satan wins when we begin to take our eyes off of what is important in life. Every one of us in this room know this verse, but I will repeat it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it," the gospel, "it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Brother, we have to, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to get our minds back on what is important. When we start thinking too much about politics, too much about things that we can quarrel with one another on social media or one another in the lobby of a church building, then we're losing sight of what's important. What is important is that we abide together, we lift each other up, we edify one another. And at all cost, we promote the gospel of Jesus Christ to one another and to the lost and dying world around us. When we take our focus off of that goal, and we're not doing our jobs as Christians. And Satan wins. And we lose. And the gospel loses. So tonight I want to encourage us, if any of these things apply to us in any way, and I suspect that they do, I want to encourage us, brethren, to take a look at 3 points tonight. 3 ways in which we undermine the message of Jesus Christ. The first one I want to share with you tonight, one way that we undermine the message, is when we become too worldly minded. Would you read there with me in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5? Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, to impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. What's the command here that we read? Set your mind. Notice the verbiage that is chosen by God here. In verse 1, keep seeking the things above. Don't set your mind on God and then go about life and then reset depending on what's important for you for that day. That's not the command. The command is every single day that we wake up on earth, that our mind should be wholeheartedly focused on seeking the things above. We are to keep, we are to set. It says, if you have died. So, for those of us that are brothers and sisters in Christ, we have died. And we have become alive in the blood of Christ. And so the command is very simple. You know the old man that you once had? Keep him there. That old man of sin that is supposed to be dead, keep him dead. Stop resurrecting your sinful man every time it's convenient for you. But keep your mind. Set your mind on God. I was thinking through this word of set. And I know that we all know what the word set means. But, you know, preachers, right? I'm interested in definitions and what it would mean. So a dictionary would say the word set means to direct with fixed attention. Fixed attention on God. If you look at the definition in more of a sports world of running, it would be to place oneself in position to start running in a race. We've talked about that this year. Running the race. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Satan wins when we take our focus off of the things above. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want us to be reminded of the words that is written here for our consideration tonight. When we ask ourselves, what are we focused on? And are we promoting the gospel to the lost and to each other? Or are we literally standing in the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ? James chapter 4 and 4 says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world, notice this, makes himself an enemy of God. An enemy. We need to remind ourselves that even though that we are Christians, our actions, our words, our thoughts, where we keep our focus, can make us an enemy of Jesus Christ. So how can you be an enemy? It's simple. One way we can become an enemy of Jesus Christ is to forget to keep ourselves holy. Said in the Old Testament, said in the New Testament. What's the command? God says, I am holy, so you, my children, you keep yourselves holy. Are we doing that? That's one way we can become an enemy. A second way we can become an enemy of Jesus Christ is reflecting poorly upon Jesus Christ. Look with me over in Matthew chapter 5, very briefly. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Again, this well-known verse, but it bears repeating for our attention tonight. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they, that's everybody around us, that they may see your good works. So why? To glorify us? So everybody can say, oh, what a good Christian? No. Jesus says, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Sometimes I think as Christians, we have two different lives, right? We have the Christian life when all of our brothers and sisters are around. And this is when we try really hard, and this is where we try to keep ourselves holy and pure. But then we have this other part of life when the brothers and sisters in Christ aren't around. Perhaps we're at work. Perhaps we're at the grocery store. We're just out at a park. We're out in our normal day of business and nobody's looking. And then I might make some different decisions. I might use different language. I might think on different things. Brethren, we have to understand that people are looking at us 24 hours a day. And our choices that we make are going to do one of two things. They're going to glorify God and bring people to Christ, or they're going to reflect our selfish ways, and they're going to shun people away from Jesus Christ because of our attitudes and our minds being on the wrong things. What are we doing with our lives? Are we doing things that are profitable for Jesus? Are our actions promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, or are they turning people away? We can be guilty of undermining our own message that we talk about every week. Let me give you a second way in which you and I as Christians can undermine the message of Jesus Christ. That is by our tongue, by our speech. Turn with me, if you will, over to James chapter 3. We were in James chapter 4 just a moment ago. We're going to go back to James chapter 3. There's a greater and bigger section that begins really all the way from verse 1 in the context there of the leaders and those that are in front and teachers. But let's just read together verse 5 and verse 6. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. And it sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm guilty of just letting something escape from my mouth and not thinking about what can happen. But you know what our tongue and our speech is like? It's like taking the rock, tossing it into the water, and watching the ripples continue through the water. It's like setting a small flame in the middle of a forest and then watching the aftermath of the entire forest being consumed. How is our speech, brethren? As brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God, we have to remember that our words have impact. The way that we talk, the words that we use, they give off positive and negative consequences to everyone that we come into contact with. Everything that we do, friends, is either showing somebody Jesus Christ or it's turning them away. We can have our opinions on social issues. We can have our opinions on all sorts of things. But I would ask all of us to take a step back before engaging into some of these discussions and asking ourselves, does it really matter? Does it really affect somebody's soul? Does it matter if I agree with somebody online or sitting right beside me? Does it matter? Or do I just want to prove my point? I just want to be right. We have a higher obligation as Christians, and that is to be the light of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think as Christians, we get caught up in being too worldly, wanting to have opinions like the world. And we forget, all of that does not matter. What matters is bringing people to salvation and redemption. I remember from being a pretty young teenager. You know, you have those conversations with your parents. And I guess some sink in and Some go in one ear and out the other, but at least this one stayed. There's a phrase that my mom used to always tell me, and I would talk to her about something and say, well, Mom, should I tell somebody something? Or should I share something with someone? And she would always ask me, well, let me get you to consider this, Adam. Will it help the person that you're telling at all? Or will it only just help you feel better? So I want us to think about that. Sometimes we want to get into an argument. We want to prove somebody wrong. We want to really tear after somebody. But let's take a step back and ask ourselves, is this profitable to them? Or is it only going to make me feel better? And then furthermore, will it promote the message of Jesus Christ? James chapter 4, verse 11. Says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Brethren, what this is speaking to is that we need to watch our tongue and watch our speech with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's of paramount importance that we be edifying one another, not trying to tear each other down. Because if we're not in unity, you think the world is going to hear anything that we have to say? And if we're not in unity, what will we spend our time and attention with? Telling somebody about Jesus Christ or fighting with one another? Going back to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, I'm going to read in verse 5 and 6 and not only remind us about our tongue with each other within the Lord's church, but also another group of people. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, conduct yourself with wisdom towards whom? Outsiders. Making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Brethren, our speech needs to be edifying to one another. And we need to watch our speech to those of this lost and dying world. It frustrates me to no end to see Christians online or in person wanting to prove somebody wrong for the sake of them wanting to be right about a scripture. If somebody is not the child of God, do you think they know about the Word of God? No. What are we trying to do proving to the lost that they don't know Scripture? Of course they don't know Scripture. It's our job to take them the words of life. We have to take a step back and we have to ask ourselves, are we undermining the message of Jesus Christ? Because nothing else really matters besides serving God, getting to heaven, and taking as many people with us as we possibly can. Let me give you a third one this evening. A third way in which we ourselves as Christians can undermine the message of Jesus Christ is when we forget ourselves to be those that show love. I want to read again from Colossians chapter 3, and I want to this time begin in verse 12 and take you through verse 17. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, listen to this, brethren, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness and with your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I want us to ask ourselves a simple question tonight. Before we act, before we speak, before we judge, before we hold something against one another, before we treat one another unkindly and without patience, before we treat the outside world in such a way, we need to ask ourselves a very simple question. Will this promote the message of Jesus Christ? And if it does not, does it need to be said? The answer is no. Brethren, we have to remind ourselves, though we are sinful people, we are representatives of our Lord and Savior. And if we do not do the job of glorifying God, nobody will. Amen. It is our job, brethren, to put first things first. We have to do a better job of transforming our lives to God, not conforming to the world. Perhaps there is someone here tonight, someone that knows these things to be true, understands that God is who He says He is, that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And perhaps somebody has said something rude to you and you've been offended. And perhaps that has made you wait in your response to the Lord. I would ask you to consider Jesus first instead of anything that somebody may have ever said. Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed," if you believe, you're halfway there. "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Please don't leave here tonight with your soul in jeopardy of being condemned. Are you ready to put on Christ in baptism? Can we help you any way spiritually? If we can, we ask you to come right now as we stand and as we sing.